Okay, so we are in Genesis chapter 17 this morning. And if you remember what happened last time, we went through chapter 16. So the Lord had given these great and precious promises to Abram. And Abram was walking with the Lord. He was believing the Lord. He was trusting the Lord. And the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. But then we come to chapter 16, and Abram's getting older, and he knows about these promises from God, and he believes in the promises, but he feels like the time is getting kind of late, and he's starting to wonder if he has to do something right to fulfill God's promise. And he got ahead of God a little bit. Actually, I'm going to start off. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm just going to read a couple of verses in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. I think this goes along really well with the life of Abraham or Abram at this point. In Hebrews 10:36, it says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." And that is perfect for this time in Abraham's life. And also Hebrews 6 and verse 15, this is actually about Abraham. And it says, "And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Okay? Now, again, I said in chapter 16, he kind of gets ahead of God a little bit, and he does something the only way that he can think of that it can be done. God promised him a seed and that he would fulfill all these promises to him and to his seed. And he's like, "I still don't have a seed." And God said, "The seed is going to come forth from my own body." Well, it's just not happening with my wife. She's barren. So his wife has this idea. I'm gonna give him my handmaid, and she can be his wife also. And Abram's like, "Okay, that sounds reasonable. Let's do this thing in the flesh, and we'll fulfill God's promise." And it turned into a mess. Yeah. So chapter 17, verse 1. So they do have this son. We talked about it last time. His name is Ishmael. But then in chapter 17, verse 1, it says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I think that's about as far as we're going to make it today. We'll do the rest of chapter 17 probably next week. But this verse, we need to really take heed to this. So let's break it down just a little bit at a time. So it starts off, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine." Talked about it a little bit last time. Abram's looking at the clock here, and he's like, "Okay, I'm getting old. You know, pretty soon it's going to be too late for me to have a son at all." And now the guy's 99 years old. Abram's thinking, "I got to do something before this time comes, when it's too late." And that time was just right for God. God was waiting for that time. He was waiting for Abram to be too old.
Right.
So that it wouldn't be Abram.
Right.
That it would be him. Right. "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine," God was waiting for this time, and then he acted. It reminds me of in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, which actually is about these two sons, or it brings a lesson out of them later in this chapter. which I don't know how much we'll talk about that, but Galatians chapter 4, it says in verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Again, God is waiting for the fullness of the time to come, which is according to his plan and his will, and then he acts to do his work. Okay? Now, later on in this chapter, it actually mentions the two sons. Verse 22, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid," that's Ishmael, "the other by a free woman," that's Isaac. That's going to start coming to fruition later in this chapter, in the next couple chapters. But it says, verse 23, "But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise." Again, you know, there's a time before when we act according to the flesh, because that's all we know. But it takes patience to wait for God to the point where he's going to do his work according to his plan. And, you know, God says in this verse, verse 1, "I am the Almighty God, walk before me." He's not saying run ahead of me. What he means by this is to walk in my presence, to walk in my sight, to walk according to how I command you, to walk to please me. Abram was 90 years old and 9. You know what the Bible says about that age? He was as good as dead. As good as dead. In terms of bringing forth fruit, bringing forth seed, he's as good as dead. He's no good by this point, and that's what God was waiting for. So that it would be his act, it would be his work, it would be something that only God would get the glory for. Amen. He says, reminds me of in John chapter 11, Jesus knows Lazarus is sick. What does he do? He waits for him to die. And then 4 days after he's dead, he goes there. Amen. Why? Well, he was waiting for him to be as good as dead so that God could get the glory. Amen. And he could raise him up again. Amen. That's exactly what's going on in Genesis chapter 17. God waited for this point. And then he appears to Abram and said unto him, "I am the Almighty God."
Right.
Almighty.
Yeah.
That word, it means all mighty. Go to Revelation chapter 1. I am the Almighty God. That word almighty, it only ever refers to God. I am the Almighty God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. This is Jesus speaking. He's the one who cometh with clouds. Verse 8, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." He is the Almighty God. Another word for that, which pretty much means the same thing, I'll just read Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. It says, "I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth."
Amen.
Omnipotent. It means almighty, all-powerful. Now, God is about to command Abram something, and before he does that, he starts off with, "I am the Almighty God." Don't forget that. That's where the power comes from, Abram. It doesn't come from you. You're as good as dead. It comes from me. I am the Almighty God. And then he says, "Walk before me. walk in my presence, walk in my sight, pleasing me, and be thou perfect. And this is what I want to focus on today. Be thou perfect. Now, you read that, and what's your reaction? I've heard a lot of reactions to this, and this is not a commandment that's specific to only Abram. Okay? So when you hear this, what's your reaction? I've heard a lot of people, you know, as soon as they read that commandment, be thou perfect, they're like, well, I can't do that. Oh God, have mercy on me. I can't be perfect. I'm not perfect. There's no way I'll never be perfect. I am the Almighty God. Don't forget that part. I am the Almighty God.
Amen.
Okay? This is not specific to only Abraham. Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Amen? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, Paul says, be perfect. It's a commandment to the church. Be perfect. Now, it's important to talk about what that actually means and to get an understanding of that. But before we even do that, there's something that actually comes before that. That's more important than understanding what this means. You know what it is? Believe it. Believe it and justify God. Don't start with all the excuses. Oh, I'm not perfect. I can't do this. I am the Almighty God. Okay? Now listen. If it's possible, if this is something that's possible, do it. Because God's commanded you. By His grace, keep His commandment. Okay? If this is something that's not possible, if this is something that's impossible, remember that with God, all things are possible. Therefore, this is possible. And again, by His grace, do it. Keep His commandment. God does not command us to do things that are just can't be done.
Right.
He doesn't do that.
Man.
If we can do it, then we should do it. If we can't do it, then we need Him. And then we can do it.
Amen.
You know, Paul said, I could do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Why? Because Christ dwelt in him. And Christ, you know who Christ is? He's the Almighty.
Right.
He's the Almighty. When you have the Almighty God dwelling in you, and you have God commanding you to do something, don't think you can't do it. You got to believe in him. Be strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's the lesson that we learn from Abraham's life. He was as good as dead.
Right.
But there's a God that raiseth the dead.
Enough.
There's a God that can do anything. In Jeremiah, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, there's not.
Amen.
Especially when it's something that He commands you to do.
Amen.
He expects you to do it. That's part of His will. We can't deny that. We can't doubt it. We can't gainsay it. We have to justify and believe God. Even if you don't understand what this means.
Amen.
At least don't start making excuses and tell God, oh, I'm not going to do it because I can't. I can't. You might as well go to God in prayer and just say, Lord, I can't be perfect even if you help me.
Yep,
would you say that to the Lord?
God,
no. The words of Jesus, be not faithless but believing. Now, I want to tell you something. What he said, be thou perfect, it is both possible and it's impossible. Okay? It's kind of like something, it's kind of like salvation. Okay? I'll leave it up to you and to your seeking God to know if they're the same thing. But we know that salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? There's no other God that can deliver after this sort. Only God can save, and yet there is the commandment. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine, and so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. In the book of Acts, I think it's chapter 2, he says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Well, which one's true? Actually, they both are. And we talked about this a few weeks ago, that, you know, sometimes when God does something, that doesn't mean that we're completely uninvolved.
Right.
There's things that God does that only he can do, and we really have no part of it. But there's other things that God does, and they're actually like he's requiring us to do something too at the same time. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. What is he doing? He's saying there's something that you have to do to save yourself. What do you have to do? You have to repent, and you have to believe the gospel. Okay? Abram, he left Ur of the Chaldees. What did God say? I brought him forth from Ur of the Chaldees. I brought him forth, but he left. It's not one or the other. It's both at the same time. Okay? God gave him the word that brought him out. But Abram still had to come out. Okay? Now, I said it's both possible and it's impossible. What do I mean by that? Well, it's possible, and that's why he gives us a commandment. There's something that he expects us to do, and there's something that we can do. On the other hand, it's also impossible, and that has to be his work in us. Okay, we're going to look at both of these. So, possible. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 7. There's so much in the Bible about perfection, and it's never saying that it's something just beyond us, out of our reach, that we can never get to. Never says that. 1 Samuel chapter 7, in verse 3, says, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Okay? The thing about perfection, does it mean like, oh no, I have a gray hair, I'm not perfect. I'm missing a finger, I can't be perfect. Or, you know, whatever it is, you know, we have so many different ideas about perfection. But what he's talking about in the Bible, he's talking about perfection as a filling up, a completeness. It's whole. Okay? What Samuel is saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your heart, and that's what God requires, all your heart, then there's something you need to do. Put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. God wants the whole heart.
Right.
He said, I think it's David said, unite my heart to fear thy name. Okay? I think of the heart as being like a house with many rooms. You know, Jesus talked about in the Gospel of Luke, he talks about, you know, when the unclean spirits goeth out of a man, and, you know, he's looking for another place to stay. He can't find any. He comes back. He finds his place swept and garnished. It's like a house. Okay? And what does he do? Well, he finds it empty. So he's like, hey, let me take all my buddies and we'll move back in. Let me tell you something. That unclean spirit ain't moving in there if God's living there.
Right.
Okay? But here's the thing. You don't give 3 out of 4 rooms to God, because that fourth one will become a habitation of devils. Give the whole heart to God.
That's good.
Don't hold anything back. Like Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a house. They brought part of the price of the land. They held something back for themselves. You have to give the whole heart to God. Prepare the whole heart. Give it wholly to him. And then he'll fill the whole thing. That's a perfect heart. That's a perfect heart. Go to Psalm 119. Look at a few verses here. Psalm 119, starting verse 2. I'm going to go through these kind of quickly. Psalm 119, verse 2, it says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways." They do no iniquity because there's no chamber of that heart for that to hide in. Because God's filling the whole thing. Seek him with the whole heart. Verse 10, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Amen. Verse 34. "Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Verse 58. "I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word." Verse 69, "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart." Verse 145, "I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes." And we know Psalm 119 is all about the word of God. But there's a theme running through it. It's the whole heart. Seek the Lord with the whole heart. In 1 Kings chapter 15, I know I'm going through a lot of scriptures, but don't worry, I'm not really planning on going back to Genesis for much today. 1 Kings chapter 15, I'm going to read verses 3 to 5. This is talking about Abijam. And it says, verse 3, "And he walked in all the sins of his father." It's talking about Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. It says, "He walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father." What is it saying? It's saying David had a perfect heart because he walked with the Lord his God. But this guy walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord of God, with the Lord his God. Verse 4, "Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite." What do you see? You see that David had a perfect heart toward God. And he still messed up. He still had a matter which he did not do right. And he did turn aside in that one thing. According to God, having a perfect heart doesn't mean you're immune from making a mistake. It doesn't mean you're immune from sinning. The Bible says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Okay? And David fell in that thing. But he had a perfect heart toward God. And when that thing came back to him, he repented. He repented and he didn't go back to it. Amen. So again, I said that it's possible. It's a commandment that we're to prepare our heart and give God the whole heart. Don't keep back part for ourselves. Okay? Again, it is also impossible. There's an impossible work. It's impossible for us, but God is able to do it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. It's a commandment. Be ye therefore perfect. Walk before me. Be thou perfect. There's something we have to do. But at the same time, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, he says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus." Who's that? Well, that's the Almighty God. That's the all-powerful, omnipotent God. He's able to do anything, even raise the dead. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is something that God does. Brother, did you have a question?
No, I was just giving glory.
Amen. 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 Yeah, this is the work of God, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And he says, he'll make you perfect in every good work. What is perfection about? Well, God has a will for us. He has a plan and a purpose for us. And in order to do that, it's got to be his work. But he's sending us the word. He's giving us his word that accomplishes what he sends it to accomplish. And it doesn't fail. He sends us his word. And that word works in us if we believe, if we give place to it. But it works in us. And it starts to fill us up. It starts to fill us up. Talks about in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it's talking about the gifts that Christ gave. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Right. You say, well, that's talking about what the pastors do, the perfecting of the saints, right? Look, again, it's not one or the other. God works through pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles. He works through those men. Why? We're the body of Christ. He was on this earth doing things with his body. He's still here. Amen. In us, yes. Doing things with his body. Amen. God is still working. And he's using us to do the work. Amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Actually, I did want to go to 1 Peter first. I know it's a lot of scriptures, amen. First Peter chapter 5. And again, verse 10, it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, what is that? That's patience. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you.
Amen.
To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. See, God's grace isn't just covering up our mistakes or making up for our mistakes.
Right.
His grace is power.
Man.
His grace is his favor. And if God is for us, that's his grace. Who can be against us? What can't he do? Amen. The God of all grace make you perfect. Amen. Amen. So go to Luke chapter 8. And again, that other verse that we looked at, it talked about God making us perfect in every good work. Okay? See, there's fruit that God wants us to bear. We're meant to bear fruit unto holiness, the Bible says in Romans. Luke chapter 8, this is the parable of the sower. And in verse 11, The Lord says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Again, I said he plants that seed in you. He sows that seed. But that seed is meant to grow. Yes. It's meant to grow up into a plant that can bring forth fruit. He says in, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in verse 14, he says, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. God wants the fruit to be perfect. He wants us to be perfect and complete and filled with all his fullness. Verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. You can see how patience is connected with the perfection that God wants. So right after chapter 16 in the book of Genesis, where you see Abram just doesn't really have that patience yet, but God is working it in him. And all these things, go to James chapter 1. All these things are working patience in his life to bring him toward that goal that he gives him in chapter 17. James chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's the life of Abraham. You know, he had diverse temptations. And all different kinds of things happened to him over the course of his life. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. His faith was being tried and it was working patience in him. And eventually, he got it. He got it. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And again, that's what the Bible means by perfect. It means entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Right. So that everything that God wants in you is going to be there. You're going to be full of his fullness and not missing anything.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go to the end of James, chapter 5. James, chapter 5, and verse 7. Again, the same theme here. He says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. And that's what we need. We need the early rain. We also need the latter rain.
Good.
We need him to keep raining on us. Amen. Until we bring forth that fruit to perfection.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Verse 8, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. Prepare your hearts to seek the Lord. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh.
Good.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4, and then we'll head back to Genesis.
It's interesting there because there he's, we're talking about patience, he goes on to speak of Job.
Yeah.
This man was perfect and upright.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely right. Colossians chapter 4. And verse 12. And Paul says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Amen.
Amen.
By the way, if you're ever wondering what to pray for, okay? If you think, well, I don't know anybody that's sick right now, like that ever happens, right? I don't know anybody with this medical condition or this need. Like, for instance, their son is stranded in America and they need to get back to South Africa. You know, there's lots of things to pray for. But let me tell you, this is an important prayer. Pray for the saints to stand and to be perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's something you should pray for every day. Pray for yourself in this regard. Pray for your fellow soldiers. We're all in this thing together. And that's God's will. That's God's desire for us to stand in Him, perfect and complete in Christ. Amen. Back to Genesis 17. So again, when Abram was 99 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And this is Abram's response. And Abram fell on his face. He fell on his face. Why? Well, God appeared to him. God's talking to him. He's the Almighty God, and he just commanded him to be perfect. What did Abram do? He fell on his face. You know why? Because God gives grace to the humble, and Abram needs the grace of God to be able to fulfill this. Amen? All right, we're going to wrap it up there, and just want to thank you all for being in Sunday school.